AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Lots of great reasons to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. For me, it's their great odds and markets for the MLB, PGA Tour, tennis, football futures, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions, which you hear about every episode here on Jenkins and Jones. They're America's number one sportsbook. They're easy to use, safe and secure. You get your winnings fast. And it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. And you can discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, to get started now. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RD. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, July 20th, and this is a classic summer Jenkins and Jones episode. We don't have shit to talk about, but we're going to talk about some shit. So, as always,
there hasn't been a basketball thing happen in 3 fucking weeks, bro.
God bless, bro. Yeah.
Good.
Blessings come down. Prayers go up. Blessings bro, come down.
Bro, except for my bro Bones losing his dog. I'm so sick for him right now, dog.
Yes.
I hate that. I hope they get his dog back to him, man.
Bro, Bones is the coolest. Like, he's my favorite player in the league. I hit Zach about this yesterday. I'm watching his videos. He's my favorite player in the league right now, bro. He's so cool in person. He's so solid. And I was so hurt seeing that. So I've been retweeting all the shit about the dog. Like, please bring his dog back. The little pup is so cute. Was it Aja?
Did somebody steal it or is it lost?
The mom was walking her and it got she got loose off the leash.
Okay.
And so if you're in the Denver area, I think South Denver. Man, you see a little standard poodle, a mini poodle.
If you find Bones' dog, we will have you on the podcast.
Yes, and he's giving you $5K too, plus a signed jersey. And he gonna be a dog, bro. So
if you have
that
a free
jersey might
Saturday,
be worth something.
Yeah, you have a free day. Go find the dog. I was just reading the Sublime graphic novel, Tyler, that they just published, like, on the origins of the band. And they were talking about Brad lost Lou Dog like 3 times. And every time the dog was lost, he was, like, composing classical music and crying, basically, for just, like, 4 days straight. He just, like, wouldn't sleep. He'd just be, like, just, like, making shit. And then every time someone was, like, literally one time someone stole the dog, and when they found out it was Sublime's dog, they were like, oh, I can't do that to Brad. Like, I gotta.
So Lou Dog was, like, his muse
whenever
he ran away and shit.
That's crazy. All right. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends in real life and on the podcast, the Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How we doing?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And we do have a little bit of a sports topic up top to squeeze in. Not basketball related, but last night was the MLB All-Star Game at Dodger Stadium. Mookie Betts, my favorite baseball player in forever, showed up to the All-Star Game wearing a t-shirt that said, "We need more black people at the stadium." Who did the shirt, John? You said you knew who did the shirt.
Bricks and Woods. I think his name's Casey Lynch. It's like a South Central company, clothing company, kind of small, like similar to, like, you know, Joe Fresh Goods and whatnot. But they've been doing dope shit. They held me down, like with the cozy shit. But the shirt is fire, bro. They always do dope shit. And they had, like, some collabs with, like, New Balance and stuff. So they've done some cool stuff, but it's still small and growing. But it's dope to see Mookie. That's a huge look with Mookie wearing that. And what a statement to make, G. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I'll talk a little bit later about the player side of this, but I'm curious for your guys' thoughts about this, because I know you guys are both people who've been baseball fans at one point in your life, who, like, we always joke about, like, if Mike Trout came up and asked you to, you know, to borrow your phone for a second, you'd be like, who the fuck is this dude? Like,
I have no idea what that motherfucker looks like, bro.
Yeah. Watch him because you think he'd steal it. This motherfucker's worth all the money.
So what, you know, from your guys' perspective, if I gave you the baseball magic wand, what would change that dynamic? You know, because I have friends who are white baseball fans who miss that, who, like, miss it. It was like when we were growing up, this was a sport everyone watched together, and it is the whitest fucking driest shit ever at this point. So from your perspective, what's missing in that conversation?
Black players. I mean, I think that's all what it comes down to. You know what I mean? Like when we were growing, I was a baseball fan when I was a kid, bro. You know, it was fucking King Griffey, Barry Bonds, Ricky Henderson, Ozzie Smith. Like, Bo Jackson. I loved all the black players as a black kid. And King Griffey. King Griffey was, like, one notch under, like, Michael Jordan on like,
the right
ladder with me as a kid. You know what I mean? King Griffey was that big of a deal to me. And it's just, you know, there's an absence of black players, and, you know, I'm sure there's people out here way smarter than us who've done studies on it, and I'm sure there's some, you know, pricing out of black kids and inner city kids and such that's affecting the sport, but it's just missing black players, bro.
It's always been expensive to play baseball, but it wasn't an issue prior for whatever reason. I think it's the marketing of it. Like, I was talking to Merrill, and he was saying that, like in the DR now that they're playing – that they're more into basketball now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might be the, and if you lose the fucking DR, like, what the fuck do you have anymore? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think it's the marketing of it, but, like, bro, as popular as Grant Hill was, what I think he was, like, a rookie sucked into the All-Star, you know, game and all that. Bro, like you said, fucking Ken Griffey Jr. was, and to me, way cooler and much more popular than even Grant Hill was, as much, you know what I'm saying, as popular as he was, you know what I mean? So, dog, it's wild to see what it's become. But, yeah, there's just not any black players. And, like, we see, like, some cool ones, like, you know, like Mookie. Yeah, things like that. But it's like they're not marketed. We know, you know what I'm saying? We don't really see them, and the feeling of the game is not the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Deion Sanders was out there playing, chain swinging, stealing bases and shit. You know what I mean? Like, bro, it's just King Griffey up there, batter's practice, you know, hat backwards. The vibe, you know, jersey untucked. The vibe was totally different back then, you know? And that energy is just not there anymore. So, I mean, even with the cool players that they have, there are few and far in between. But, you know, the way the game is marketed, why would these kids, you know, give a fuck about it, you know?
Yeah. I have a couple thoughts along those lines. I think that first of all, it's a huge missed opportunity on baseball's part, because basketball is a black sport. Football is a black sport. Baseball is the only sport where you can have what generates the most money in American sports since the country was founded. Black people versus white people. It's the only sport where you can have old black people, and young black people watching Barry Bonds go up against a Hall of Fame white pitcher. And the black people are like, we got to get his ass. And all the white people are watching the pitcher like, he's going to strike out Barry Bonds.
Racism.
But that's it.
Bro,
that's
for
what,
sure.
But like, that's
for
what
sure.
That's what has driven. Like, it's so
McGuire
funny
versus Barry Bonds.
About,
everybody tapped in for that shit. You know what I mean? That's home run
right.
Racism. Go ahead.
But when they talk about, like, it's so funny to me with the NBA. We talk about, like, oh, it was Magic versus Bird. That saved the league. They talk about that like it was because they were otherworldly talented. I really appreciated Winning Time for saying that shit straight up. It was a black dude versus a white dude.
Right.
Like, that's what it's a
flashy black guy versus the blue collar white guy. You know what I mean? You couldn't have scripted it better.
You couldn't have scripted it better. And Tyler talks about that shit with boxing all the time, too. Like that. I mean, that was, man, I come from an Italian family, bro. That's what got fucking Italian. That's what got black people out of bed to watch boxing. And that's what got white people out of bed to watch boxing. You
that's
know what
what's
I mean?
Keeping Family Feud alive, nigga. You feel me? Wanted to see the black family win, you know?
Baseball's the only sport that, like, white Americans, like, are decent in. You know what I mean? It's the only sport where you could have that dynamic. And especially with the rise of, like, how great, obviously, Hispanic and Latin players are, you actually could have a sport that looks like America with white people and black people and Asian people and Hispanic people being good at it. But I think the money thing is a huge part of it, and I don't think you could talk about that enough, because, like, if you look at the history of Long Beach, like, Willie McGinnis grew up playing with the same youth coach on a dirt field, literally, you know, all dirt infield, that Tony Gwynn grew up playing with. And all the black kids on the east side, they grew up playing baseball. On the west side, they all grew up playing baseball. Like, that just was part of the culture. And I do think that the pricing out is a huge part of it. And I also think, and I don't think they take enough shit for this, the major leagues directly, instead of investing in communities for like 30 or 40 years, were going, oh, you know what? We could go over to the Dominican. We could go to Latin America, and we could take advantage of these people like a motherfucker. Because there's, you know what I mean? There's no knowledge of stuff like,
they're playing with sticks and ball caps. They making sure to get, you know what I'm saying? Like,
if I come over here and say, oh, we could give you a $5,000 finder's fee. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think Major League Baseball deserves more shit for intentionally turning away from the black community. 100%. And I would add, when you said the game doesn't have the same vibe, the whole conversation of, like, you know, baseball's unwritten rules, I've always hated all that shit, because, like, the way black people play baseball in Long Beach, I'm sure it was a way all over the country. I only grew up where I grew up, but, like, it was more showy and fun. You know what I mean? Like, it was more shit talking and, like, you know, throwing bats and shit like that. So that's part of it. Tony Gwynn, obviously, a really laced up dude, but generally the black culture of baseball in Long Beach was sort of more stereotypically fun.
Also, like, I love, like, you know, Ken Griffey and all them, you know what I'm saying? Like, Terry Pendleton, I was a Braves fan, you know what I mean? So, but I mean, I would check in for, like, you know what I'm saying, Hideo Nomo, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Randy Johnson and shit, you know what I mean? Like, I would fuck with that, with them too. So, I just don't get why, you know, like, and those rules existed then, but there, it seemed like there was space for black people to be black as hell. I don't know if they've, you know, tightened up on the rules, you know, trying to fight, you know, actively fight against it. But I know in St. Louis, there's, like, Ozzie Smith, like, fields that he, like, built in the hood. And they still don't play on them. And football's not necessarily an inexpensive sport to play. You know, it's not
football
like basketball. We just need to.
Football is more expensive than baseball.
You feel me? And so, like, it's just, yeah. So, like, it's odd there. So it's not just money. Yeah, I think, like, what you're saying, like, they've actively not tried to, you know what I'm saying, you know, reach out to the black community, you know what I'm saying?
I think, you know, actively for decades. So what I will say I think is great is I do think that that's, if the biggest issue is players, I do think that that's changing. Three of the top four draft picks this year, with the draft happened last weekend, black kids from America. You know what I mean? And all three of them played in the RBI development programs that Major League has. There's one in Compton that all the Long Beach kids go to. They call it the RBI program. It's reviving baseball in the inner city. And so it is good, like, but it also is, it frustrates me that much more because it just shows, like, it was not that complicated, bro.
I think.
You know what I mean? It wasn't that complicated. You just needed to give people a place to play where they could afford to go. And then the other side of it on Mookie shit is it's expensive as fuck to go to baseball games. It's not as expensive as to go to NFL or or NBA games. But, like, I took Vinny to the Futures game on Saturday as part of All-Star Weekend. The parking was
$60. Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Dodger Stadium. It's not normally that. But yeah. It's normally $30 to park. So the games are so much cheaper. You could get a ticket still for $6 or whatever. But it's just the cost of everything associated with it. Like, that's always going to open it up to more types of people, not just black people, but more types of people if it doesn't cost you fucking everything just to, you know, go and eat a hot dog with your kid at the game.
I wonder if sports culture has changed it too, because, like, you know how kids are approaching, you know, a sport more like professionals earlier. So, like, you don't. We played every fucking sport growing up. Every single sport. You don't have the time to now. Like, you know. And then by the time you're in high school, you're basically approaching it like basketball is, you know, 365 days a year. You know, by the time you're in high school. So I wonder if that's it too, where like we don't have as much time, or like the way we approach sports now. You're putting much more effort into single sports, and like, you know, you play, you know. Baseball is not the sport a lot of these kids are choosing.
I was talking to DeSean Jackson about that like 2 months ago. You know DeSean Jackson played baseball at Poly?
No, I didn't. It doesn't surprise me though. I mean, I think he's play any fucking sport. He's a prime fucking
athlete, right, sure. Yeah. But I think that's a great example of exactly what you talked about. You look at Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn played basketball and baseball at Poly. He played basketball and baseball at San Diego State.
Right.
He's still the all-time career assist leader at San Diego State.
That makes sense for him to be assist leader.
For sure. Yeah. DeSean, football and baseball. Well, when you're 17, someone's coming to you. And he was good. He played in the area code games. I mean, he would have been drafted in a high – people at Poly thought he was dumb for picking football because he could have been drafted in baseball at high school. You know what I mean?
And that baseball bread, different.
But you know what I mean? You get to the choice, and most, like you said, most kids are. If you're DeSean Jackson, where are you going to go? Are you going to go to? Are you going to pick the sport where you see yourself, or the sport where you don't see yourself? And most kids are going to pick the sport where they go, yeah, I see DeSean Jackson's playing fucking football. I see maybe one in the major. Like you said, Mookie, and Tyler said Tim Anderson. You know, I'll throw J.P. Crawford in there because he's from Long Beach. You know, all-star caliber player with the Mariners. But
can we count Tatis?
Yeah, but like your name and a lot of the dudes, you know, they're from other countries and shit too. Mm-hmm. So, but my point on that change is, I just think that's the part that'll have to change before it really changes. But the bigger issue to me, and this affects everybody, not just black athletes, but it affects keeping poor people out of baseball, basically, is the way they pay minor leaguers. And I want to talk about this because I don't get mad about sports shit, bro. This shit is it's a cartoon. You know what I mean? Like, with the exception of the people we know, it's whatever. It's all crazy. It's all goofy. But so Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, had the fucking nuts to say, I reject the premise that minor league players are not paid a living wage. We've made real strides in the last few years in terms of what minor league players are paid. This is an ongoing lawsuit. They just settled for $185 million, an antitrust lawsuit saying they weren't paying minor leaguers. Just to put the numbers out there, players not on a 40-man roster make between $4,800 and $14,000 annually to be a minor league baseball player, and they're only paid in season. So you're not even getting $14,000 as $1,000 a month for 12 months. You are making $1,500 a month when you're in season, and then it's just get the fuck out of here. I personally know a dozen black baseball players who are in the minor leagues who could have stuck it out and seen if they were, like, talent-wise, and seen if they were going to be able to progress through, whose families just couldn't afford to support them in the 3-4 years it took to see if they can make it to the major leagues. And that is a huge deal. And when you talk about the baseball bread, it is super different. Juan Soto just turned down a $440 million offer from the Nationals that everyone agrees was too cheap because they were only gonna pay him $29 million a year, and it's a half dozen players who make more than that right now, right? That money's different, but in between, you go play college football. There's money in college football. You make it to the NFL, your rookie contract, you're doing pretty good. In baseball, you know, no one goes straight to the major league. So you know it's a year to 3-4 years in there where you're going to be poor as fuck on purpose, sleeping in shitty hotels, riding on shitty buses, and it turns a ton of people away from the game. And the people that we know from Long Beach who made it through that grind were the suburban kids whose parents had enough money to support them. And that's a huge deal, and they're not doing enough to address that shit.
Yeah, saying that the minors are making adequate money, like what? People who don't even know shit about baseball know that's a fucking lie. That is a shitty fucking existence. You know what I'm saying? But you know, for the few that make it out, the grind is worth it. But yeah, it's for sure. It's a life of, you know, living in shitty fucking hotels, of fucking eating potato salad sandwiches from the gas station at 2 a.m. for dinner. You know what I mean? Like, bro, the hotel, you know, we've got the Flying Squirrels here, minor league team in Richmond. The hotel that the minor league teams, the visiting minor league stay at here, is called the Diamond Inn. You can Google that shit. It is a fucking dump, right? That shit is a dumpster, dog. So, yeah, I don't know who the fuck he was trying to fool with that shit.
I've played with one person that made it to the league. And he was like the fourth or fifth best player on our traveling team. His people had fucking bread, though, and he could afford to not make it to the league and still grind and be all right. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he just stuck it out for years, could be supported, and eventually made a couple rosters. You know what I mean? But for the most of the time, I mean, like, there's no guarantee that there's like a, you know, golden end of that, you know what I'm saying, rainbow. You might not make it, and you just can't, like, most people can't take that L. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that as far as like the quality of the of players you get too, that hurts that as well, because there's, like you said, like there's a lot of really good players that can't stay, they just don't have the bread. You know what I mean? That issue's going on with golf as well, but we won't talk about that. We can move on.
No, actually, you know what? I'm happy to talk about it with every sport, because ultimately this is the deal. You said it. Sports are different for kids now. We grew up playing sports because that was the only thing we wanted to do, right? Mm-hmm. If you ask me, what do you want to do today? You could do anything in the world. I want to play basketball. Do I want to go to Disneyland with my parents? I guess.
Right.
I really want to stay home and play basketball on the driveway
with the homies, right?
You know, it's not that way. So I talk about that all the time because I genuinely. Like, sports are like the second thing we invented as a species after food, bro. Like, I think they're important for whatever reason. I think that everyone having access to them, whether that's white people, black people, poor people, rich people, men, women, like, I think that's important for the development of kids. I'm a super romantic about that shit. It's why I still have my job. But, like, you have to make shit accessible. And if you look at every success story, Billie Jean King came out of Long Beach because someone was willing to give free tennis lessons to girls. She was poor as fuck, and she was a girl, so she wasn't allowed to play anywhere else. But someone gave free lessons, right? Like, Mookie was so small, no one was going to put him on there. He wasn't drafted in the Little League draft in fucking Murfreesboro, Tennessee, or wherever he's from.
Murfreesboro.
So his mom started a team. You know what I mean? Like, that it's all about opportunity to play, and money, whether it's golf or baseball or whatever, that's a big fucking deal. And because it costs money, I think that contributes to kids in every sport, and especially girls, basically being given a part-time job by their parents when they're 10 years old. Like, you got to do this. You know what I mean? it's not good, bro. So golf, baseball, whatever, it needs to be more affordable for kids to play shit. And every sport should think of that as an existential crisis.
I played baseball in Tennessee, and them Murfreesboro's motherfuckers, big country white boys, man. Hey, we knew he was in for a long night when they pulled up, bro. I remember being there, this one motherfucker, it started raining. Golly bum, this is cold rain. Like, I never thought of rain as hot or cold. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ. But yeah, man, good for him making it out of there. Sheesh.
I've looked up pictures of the Diamond Inn in Richmond, Virginia.
Bro, the hood. That shit is the hood.
The project.
That's not where you were. That's not where you were isolating when you had COVID, is what you're saying.
You in the projects now.
You in the hood now, baby.
You in the hood now, baby.
Is the top three photos on a Google image search are someone left behind some drugs in their hotel room, there's a bed bug infestation, and a woman was shot at the hotel. There's seven Jesus cop cars Christ. In the parking lot. Those are the top three photos of the Diamond Inn.
Yeah. That place is hell, dog.
Literally.
All right. The next topic, we're talking about it. A bunch of people hit us up that wanted us to talk about it. And I'm just going to foreground this by saying that this Deezus and Mero shit is awkward as fuck for the Jenkins and Jones podcast.
Because
like,
they both the homies, you know what I'm saying?
They're both the homies. There's between you guys and them, there's genuine, actual human relationships. So we're not spilling any tea. There's no behind-the-scenes shit. But I know that we all had stuff that we wanted to say about how important we felt like what the two of them did together was, and so that's what this segment is for.
Yes, I'm choosing to not cry because it's over. I'm going to smile because it happened.
No, shut up!
But seriously, on some real shit, man. On some real shit. And I say this is no hyperbole. This is no over-exaggeration. This is no prisoner of the moment shit. I would have said the same shit a few years ago. I'll say the same shit years from now. Deezus and Mero are the single best success story in Twitter history. Hands down for me, bro. Like, they are the best friendship story, the best partnership story, the best come up story. And I feel like, you know, they changed so much of the comedy landscape, and especially the late night talk landscape. We hadn't seen, you know, black faces on late night since Arsenio, like 25 years ago. You know what I mean? Like the formula has always been for late night is, you know, you get a white guy in a suit and a coffee mug, you know, and put him behind a desk, right? Like, that's
always some dry ass jokes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Deezus and Mero, you know, like what you said, John, about how they showed, you know, the white people writing checks that paying black people to be black people is lucrative. You know what I mean? Like, I think that if I had to boil their legacy down to just like one sentence or one thought, it would be like, remember before like social media and shit, before everyone kind of had a platform and a voice where you see comedians, you'd be like, bro, I got homeboys way funnier than this motherfucker. Deezus and Mero were the homeboys that were funnier than these motherfuckers who made it. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, that's who right. Deezus and Mero are to me. And that's their legacy. And like I said, you know, it sucks that it's coming to an end, but they had a hell of a run, man. They've been doing this shit since like 2013. So hats off, man.
I remember like me and you, like Tyler, like going to meetings and like him, Deezus and Mero being mentioned all the time. Yes. I will flat out say I have none of the opportunities I've had. And I tweeted it. Without Deezus and Mero being Deezus and Mero. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Yahoo, the shit I'm doing now, any of that shit, flat the fuck out. Motherfuckers is getting bread because of them. They kicked the door open for niggas to be niggas and get paid to be niggas. You know what I mean? So, like, flat out, you know what I'm saying? So I'm forever grateful for them, too. But, like, you know, I don't know how many rooms I've walked in with, you know, seeing them on the mood board. You know what I'm saying? It's what the people are trying to recreate. You know, they're one-on-one. You know what I'm saying? Like, and what they did together, like, during it was must-see TV. You know what I mean? Like, you felt like the homies fucking won. You know what I mean? The fact that we are actual homies with them is incredible. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're legendary trailblazers. They deserve to go out better than that, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that. Like this, they I do hate that, you know what I mean? But yeah, dude, like what they have done for people like me, people like us, you know what I'm saying, to be able out here and to be ourselves, you know, saying nigga, you know, with white people signing the checks for it, letting us be our complete selves, that does not exist without Deezus and Mero, you know? So I'm super appreciative. You know, I hate to see him go out like that. I see it end in this way. But you know, it doesn't take away from what they've accomplished, what they've done together. What they've done is extremely special. I'll forever salute them for that.
Yeah. It's always sick to see like your homies falling out. Like even if you understand like both sides, it's like, okay, yeah, the homie owed you $20 and bought a Long Island iced tea in your face, but you didn't have to punch the motherfucker in his mouth at Ruby Tuesday. You know what I'm saying?
You could have, but y'all can still get past that. Like, just fight it out, nigga. Like, right.
It's always like, you know, just a disappointing feeling when you see the shit happening, man.
He only punched you in your mouth at Ruby Tuesdays. It could be worse. You could work through it.
Yeah,
you know,
work through it.
You can work through it, man. Motherfuckers get punched. It's okay, man. Fight it out. Move on. But yeah, that's how I feel, man. It's just, It's low key emotional. You see, like, yeah.
I was emotional as fuck about it. You know, I mean, and you guys mentioned the personal connection. For me, it was seeing just the authenticity. That was the thing to me where it was like, these are regular people that succeeded. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I felt emotionally invested and connected with their success in a way that I actively avoid ever trying to feel about a celebrity that I do. You know what I mean? Actively, mm-hmm. like, no. The only other thing I ever allow myself to get invested in is Tom Holland and Zendaya. That's it, bro. It's just Spider-Man.
I totally ship them. Yeah,
but yeah, yeah, so I mean, I knew a lot of people who felt that way. This was not like a show you liked going off the air. It was, you know, like you said, the emotional side of it for sure, of seeing people whose friendship but we hear that from people all the time too. Like when you listen to someone's podcast, when someone's podcast gets you through your workday or your workout or some shitty thing you're going through, you feel like you're part of that friendship, you know. And I think that was what was hurting a lot of people too, in addition to the relatability, is everyone felt like they were a part of their success to some extent, and they encouraged that, obviously, you know what I mean. So it's definitely different. It definitely, and I know a lot of people who said they were who were like, why am I sad to the point of crying about about a podcast and a TV show ending? It's like, well, it wasn't some, you know, late night with fucking Jimmy Fallon shit. Right.
It wasn't a TV show. It was a friendship. That's what we were fans of. You know what I mean? Of their friendship, of their bond. When motherfuckers came to them, they had each other's back. You know what I mean? So, like, we're not seeing, like, Desus and Meryl ending as far as the show. You know what I mean? That's hate to see that, obviously. I want them to get bred together for a trillion fucking years. But more than anything, it's just the bond was crazy, but yeah, man, like it felt like, you know, like you said, we knew them, and then like getting to know Meryl like closely, like, dog, like, he's exactly who he is. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it helps us to figure out how to, you know, do what the fuck we got going. Like, we are exactly who the fuck we are on here. You know what I mean? Like I can't explain how that feels, as far as like being comfortable in yourself. I'm the type of person, I don't want to do shit if I can't be me. You know what I mean? Not a fuck. I don't want to do a goddamn thing if I can't be myself. And let them like, you know, creating that space and creating that lane is them, you know, truly being who we perceive them to be, like, in real life, is, and then seeing this. I don't know. It's sad. It's sad. You know what I mean?
You talked about that with moving to LA from St. Louis, where you're from, and I know where your heart is in a lot of ways, that, like, to some extent, prior to them having success, you knew about yourself. You had to be yourself in order for anything to feel like it was worth it. So at a time, what that meant was that you had accepted that you weren't going to make a lot of money, that you weren't going to have bigger entertainment opportunities. And that had nothing to do with your personality. That was just your correct understanding of the world at that time. And they're the two people who changed that possibility, who raised that ceiling of, oh no, I could do the only thing I'm gonna be able to do and still be successful at this different level. And I thought you can't put that into words what the value of that is.
And I guarantee me and Ty don't have a podcast without them. I guarantee we don't even do it. Like, you know, like we. The podcast began because we had funny ass conversations on the phone, and people were, and then we would communicate on Twitter. People were like, y'all shot a podcast, and like they are like, oh, we see them just being themselves, funny, like it's like a conversation together. We could do that too. That's what we can do, is just be ourselves and bring these conversations onto a pod and let people listen to them. You know what I'm saying? Like we didn't, you know, this, we weren't like, it was just like, yo, we can just be ourselves. We wasn't like, hey, this is what we need to do to have a successful podcast. You know what I mean? We're like, yo, you know what I'm saying? And that's what they did. Where it's like, yo, we just gonna be ourselves, be niggas on, you know, and record it. And I mean, it's wild to see like actual trailblazers. You know what I'm saying? People that have, you know, created a lane for you to be successful. And you know,
yeah. All right.
Like you said, hard to put into words, but much love to them forever, yo. You know what I mean? Forever.
Skibidi bee.
Give me the 313. Tyler was the one who started flipping it on Twitter for me, and I needed that from, like, this is the saddest shit ever to, all right, it's the part of the wake when we start telling funny stories.
I'm choosing to celebrate him. Hell of a run, man.
For sure.
10 years of this shit. Like Miro went from tweeting about how he hated being a substitute teacher to living in the rich part of New Jersey that, you know what I'm saying, celebrities live in. So,
saltwater pool, nigga. Like, right? I love seeing it. And we'll see more. We'll see more.
Let me drastically change the tone of the conversation, as is the hallmark of a summer Jenkins and Jones episode.
Hard
no
stops.
No segues, baby. Just 90-degree turns. My favorite shit that's happened to Twitter in a minute was Hellfire's Buyers tweeting, if rent in Gotham was $300 a month for a three-bedroom, would you move there? There's 20,000 quote tweets on this shit, and at least 15,000 of them are funny.
And the running joke is that Batman is a motherfucker who does not see the gray, who thinks every fucking minor infraction is worth the most brutal punishment. Like, that's the recurring joke there, and it's fucking money every time.
You get your fucking leg broke by Batman for jaywalking and shit like that. But people have also been super creative, and I appreciate this as, like, a Southern California. If like, the traffic that you're stuck in that's making you late to work, not because you're doing something fun, but because you're stuck in traffic, was because some asshole put a giant fucking wrapped present across the fucking freeway. Like, what the fuck are you supposed to do with that, bro? Like, it's just accepted. It's like, oh, the subways. Yeah, the fear toxin was in the subways again, so they had to shut the shit down.
Batman could make shit so much easier for the citizens of Gotham. He just offed motherfuckers. Fuck that no-killing rule, bro. Kill these motherfuckers. Joker been terrorizing your ass since 1938, dog. In some hard bottoms. It's out here dressing like Prince, giving you hell. Come on, man. You got to put that man in the dirt, bro. That man is 118 pounds and 6'4", giving you hell in some church shoes.
But you Chet Holmgren, whoop his ass, bro.
Right, like Chet Holmgren. Beat your ass for 80 years. Well, I've got to stick to my code. Killing them makes me just as bad as them. Okay, motherfucker. Well, you need to be just as bad as them just this one time so this shit doesn't happen again. I would be so pissed if I was a Gotham citizen and we had to deal with Joker shenanigans like fucking 4 or 5 times every year because Batman refuses to kill that motherfucker, dog. Please just kill that man. The
Joker's Damn. Just humidity in Gotham. It's just like, oh, fucking Joker's out again.
Ah, well, nonetheless. Here comes Batman in his fucking Batmobile cruising down the streets to put him in Arkham for fucking 2 more months. I would hate Batman if I was in Gotham. I would not fuck with that. I would be an anti-Batman motherfucker. Fuck that dude, man. And I love Batman. I'm not an anti-Batman guy. I love him. But if I was a Gotham citizen, I would not be fucking with Batman, bro. Because he can make shit so much easier for all of us. But he refuses to. And all them billions of dollars you got, motherfucker, why you can't, like, put some money into fucking, like, you know, prison reformers or start some orphanages and shit up, you know what I'm saying, to really contribute. This motherfucker's out here playing karate in some pajamas at 2 a.m. fighting clowns, and you worth about a half a trillion dollars out here in some bullshit, man. Fuck Batman. I think I'm changing my stance.
No, you can't. Batman. You can't.
Now, the movies be so good, though. The last movie's too good.
The movie's too
good.
Yeah. Hey, this is a social clip right there, nigga. Cut that. That is.
They did a comic where he was investing in changing things from the ground up. It was boring as fuck. I'm gonna be honest with you. So
yeah, I don't want to see that shit in the comics. I want to see it in real life. In comics, I would want to see the Joker beating his ass. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm there for.
That's a good point. Church, like, there's so many Batman stories that, like, they've told every angle of this shit. One of my favorite comics ever is called GCPD. It's just about, like, it's like a police procedural, but it's like, what would it be like to be a cop in fucking Gotham? Like, every now and then, someone just starts painting question marks on the wall.
This motherfucker.
Like, time to go on vacation.
This dude lets a clown, a joke teller,
see y'all
and
in 2 weeks.
Six dude give him hell at all occasions, and a fucking gymnast. of a woman gymnast and a fucking horticulturist.
A horticulturist,
whatever, right? And a scarecrow. God damn.
He be getting his ass whooped, dog.
Right? He damn. Beat the fuck up.
Scarecrow's just a fucking, he's just an angel dust freak. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's the story no one's told is, where is the protest movement of Gotham citizens who are just like, just kill these motherfuckers.
Right, please.
Just kill these motherfuckers, bro.
Damn.
So, would y'all move for $300 a month?
Nah, because the Gotham villains be trying to fuck everybody up. It ain't just beef with Batman. You know what I'm saying? Like their old shit is, we're going to terrorize the whole city and blow all these motherfuckers up or poison everyone with this nerve gas. So, nah, I would want no parts of that shit.
Y'all know where my risk analysis is, bro. I had an alcoholic for a dad who drank himself to death. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything remotely interesting just off of that risk analysis. The fuck I look like trying to save a couple $1,000 a month. And then my obituary is the Penguin turned him into a human fish and cut him in half. Like,
entire building fell on him.
Like, the fuck? Poison Ivy destroyed the foundations of the apartment building he lived in.
But he only paid $300 a month.
He couldn't answer a riddle. What the fuck?
Right. Cool on that.
Blew his whole chest up because he couldn't answer a riddle.
Fucking unfortunately, you know, Batman chose his girlfriend over Mike, and so Mr. Freeze got him in the end. You know, he lived a careful, quiet life, but Mr. Freeze did turn him into a popsicle. He was celebrating his 45th birthday when the Mad Hatter mind controlled him and made him jump off the top of the building.
Yeah, we cool on that.
Great.
Mr. Freeze a weak ass villain too, dog. Like that. All you gotta do, bro. Like heat. That's all you gotta do to have the. Like this motherfucker takes summers off from terrorizing cops.
Mr. Freeze thinks he's us, bro.
Right? He's us. He's the podcasting version of this motherfucker. Goes on sabbaticals during the summer. Sabbatical super villain.
Mr. God Freeze damn. Thinks he's SoundCloud Jenkins and Jones. I fuck with that. That's great.
Popping back up in the first chill of October and shit.
Oh, God Jesus. Damn. All right.
How did we start Batman potting again? Like, how do we come back? I don't remember, like, what made us actually come back from those 2.5 months. Like, what would always bring us back? Like, I guess it's time to do a pod.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I guess
and we come back like nothing happened. Like, we weren't gone for a year. You know what I mean?
That was right. And people used to hit us up like, I thought you guys weren't friends anymore. But like, bro, we're not recording because we are friends. Like,
bro, we're still talking. We're just not recording it.
Right.
The fuck? Yeah.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around. Hey, tapping. hey, stranger. I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Do you think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values. Premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Big news! FanDuel has an all-new mobile gaming app called FanDuel Faceoff. FanDuel Faceoff is where you compete in quick, fun games against other real people for real cash. It has all sorts of games that you're familiar with, like a home run derby, Wheel of Fortune, puzzle and strategy games, with more on the way. Contests are action-packed and last between 2 to 5 minutes, so you can play on your couch, waiting in line, during a commercial break, wherever, and on your schedule. Plus, you can practice for free anytime. Whether it's head-to-head, multiplayer, or larger tournaments, FanDuel Faceoff has something for you. Plus, in most contests, you'll be matched against players of similar skill level, so you're never totally overmatched, even as a beginner. Faceoff is also tied to your FanDuel account and wallet, so you can easily use your daily fantasy funds or sportsbook winnings in the app. Please download the FanDuel Faceoff app and compete in a few non-cash contests. I downloaded the FanDuel Faceoff app and got to compete in a couple of the non-cash contests. I'm a big Wheel of Fortune junkie, always have been, so that's my favorite game. It's got very simple gameplay, and it's easy to connect to my existing FanDuel Fantasy and Sportsbook account. So visit FanDuel.com/JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, to download the FanDuel Faceoff app and get in the game. Age and location restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See www.fanduel.com/faceoff-terms for terms and conditions. That J&J is probably not the URL that they wanted there. It says visit fanduel.com/XXXX. I'm assuming that was probably Faceoff. All right. John's IG stories have alerted me to something I had not thought about.
Me neither. What a thought. What a thought.
What a thought, which is that when British people are having sex, they still have British accents.
Why is that so funny?
Tuesday, isn't it? Isn't it?
Tuesday, isn't it?
I am arriving.
He said, I am arriving.
I'm arriving.
I'm arriving.
I'm surprised it's not bigger on Twitter. I think last night I saw I had like 3,000 likes. And I saw it that morning and it had like 150 or four or something like that. Like, I don't, but that shit is so funny, dude.
what's the worst accent you can think of to hear during sex?
I'm gonna be
Boston,
honest with you.
Boston be it?
Baltimore.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know we could see your response. Ooh. Yeah. Like it smelled bad.
I actually think a British accent is at the top of the list. The word splendid is a real fucking boner killer. For me.
Did somebody say delicious?
Scrumptious.
Scrumptious. Ooh, splendid.
this is scrumptious.
Scrumptious.
I think a British accent is funnier. I think a Baltimore accent is more like off-putting. You know what I mean? Where like if you're hearing that, you're like, damn, like, relax. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not talk. You know.
I think German is probably the ugliest language you can hear during sex. German is an ugly fucking language.
Russian is woo.
A lot of Russian feels menacing to me. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't necessarily call it ugly. It feels like if you hear that shit, you might be about to get kidnapped and held for ransom or some shit. You know what I mean? I think French is probably the sexiest link sounding language. Like French has that like post orgasm lazy mouth voice like that. You know,
I think the French when they're speaking in English, but when they're speaking in French, I smell cheese. You know what I mean? Like
croissants and shit.
Right. I'm like, nigga, like, bruh, you talk like your breath stink. You know what I mean? Like, I think the prettiest language, period, is Spanish by far. I think that's the most beautiful language. Like, I think when I hear Spanish, I hear music. I see art. I see colors when I hear Spanish. You know what I mean? Like, I smell cheese when I hear French. But when they're speaking English, it sounds right. They make English sound way better than it actually is. You know what I mean? Their accents, but. I'm sorry. I don't know where.
I don't know what my assessment about English, you know, would be because I guess I speak it, but I don't know. It's not anything spectacular to me. You know
it's bologna. I mean? It's a bologna sandwich. English. A bologna. You know what I mean?
A plain bologna sandwich. Yeah.
I think how people use words and like the different options of words is like, beautiful, right? But I mean, as far as like audibly. I think there's nothing special about the language. You know what I mean? Like I said, like
I think
Spanish.
You're supposed to feel that way about the language you speak, though.
Do you think Spanish speaking people don't think their language is beautiful? I think they think their language is beautiful. I think the French do as well. I think we don't have a pretty language. I think English is fucking like as far as the sound.
I think the value of it, which is also the worst thing about it, is the versatility. Like there's a lot of the good things from both of the languages you just mentioned, you know what I mean? And the common ancestor of those languages. But French to me, I don't know. I agree with you about Spanish. I think Spanish is definitely the most beautiful accent. But it, you know, sort of similarly to English, there's people that speak English in a way that's beautiful. And there's people, you know what I mean? Like, Hanif is not speaking the same English that, like, when he's when he's reading, he's not speaking the same English that I'm speaking. And
I think
sort of
Baldwin
with
speaks
Spanish
it in a
or
way.
French or whatever.
I think Baldwin speaks it in a way that's beautiful. But I think when it's beautiful, it's more written than spoken. Very few people, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, anybody, I think if you speak Spanish, it's just going to sound beautiful to me, period. You know what I mean? If you know what I'm saying? Like, but
just
English,
reading a grocery list.
It's
just
the
like,
gods, right? Reading a grocery list, you know what I'm saying? It sounds beautiful in Spanish. You have to be a fucking god to make English sound beautiful or even anywhere close to how Spanish sounds. And, you know, that's who you're mentioning. Like, Hanif, as far as when it comes to words, he's a fucking god. You know, Baldwin speaks it like it's music when he speaks it. You know what I mean? But that's Baldwin. That's not the language. You know what I mean? So
English is a tater tot ass language. It sounds like
it is, bro. and I think, you know, people clown it how it sounds all the time. You know what I mean? Like people that aren't, you know, English, you know, first language or like English speaking, like they say our accents sound weird. You know what I mean? Like, but.
All right. Speaking of weird language, I don't have a segue. As I mentioned,
it's summer. It's summer. Fuck it. It's all
summer.
Random.
Okay.
A hot
dramatic
topic
change number three. someone asked Tyler in particular. I think all of us, but Tyler in particular, are you gonna watch the new Game of Thrones? What is it called? House of Dragons. The new Game of Thrones show. Are you gonna watch it? I know that you guys. Shit. I was a listener when you guys first were doing Game of Thrones recaps, and I was listening to them even though I had not seen the show just because it was fucking funny. But I know a lot of people enjoy the Game of Thrones takes, and I know that, Tyler, you were as disgusted as could be with the final season of that show.
Appalled. I want to be very clear. I have never invested more in a TV show in my life and been more let down than the final season of Game of Thrones. But I will be tapping into House of Targaryen because, like I said in the tweet, I don't be doing shit, dog. I be at the crib. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lie to y'all like my life is too exciting to not tune in. I don't be doing a motherfucking thing. Yeah, I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to complain on the internet if it's whack. You know what I'm saying? So yes, I will be watching it. And if I do not approve, I shall vocalize it on Twitter.
I'll be at home watching like old U.S. Open championships on YouTube, bro. Like, of course I'm watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it'll be beautiful even if it's not written well. Like, so I care about how it looks because I'll be high as fuck. Yes. You know what I mean? Watching it. So
key component.
Yeah, I'm watching it. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it doesn't take away the fact that I was disappointed, but... Yeah, you know, like you said, I don't be on shit, and I don't want to be on nothing. If I could just be at home watching some bullshit, it's better than being out having fun. I don't want to have fun. I don't want to be.
And it's some prequel shit where the whole story is fleshed out and it's all concluded. So I don't think they can fuck this up, but we'll see.
You don't think Bran could end up as a fucking?
Oh, they could fuck it up. Oh, they could fuck it up. Oh, we thought they couldn't fuck up those last two seasons. That last season, bro. Monumental fuck up, bro. You know what I mean?
That man came out and said, "And who's a better story than Bran the Broken?" That was the first time we heard that motherfucker get called Bran the Broken. It was like, I know Bran was like, "God damn, bitch, what? When the fuck did I get brought? God damn. I know I'm paralyzed, but shit."
Nah, he was broken, nigga.
Who has a better story than this pathetic motherfucker over here?
Bran the Broken.
That was not people first language. That was not
one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't read the spoilers. You know, because they were out there on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read the spoilers and I didn't bet on Bran being the fucking winning the Iron Throne at the end because Vegas had that shit up and he was like +2,000. Motherfuckers was cashing out, dog.
Why really? Didn't you?
Yes.
So you knew that was up
because you wanted it to enjoy
out.
It.
Yeah, I wanted to enjoy it, and I was dumb as fuck.
You chose that over money,
bro. I even missed the Kawhi game, a series winner versus Philly, because I watched Game of Thrones that night. I will never forgive myself for this. I don't feel good about it at all.
Bro, you missed out on a lot of money. You could have cashed all the way out.
I did, but I was like, bro, I'd been locked in on that shit for 5-6 years. Like, I was like, I don't want spoilers.
Wow,
I was dumb
man.
As fuck.
No, I am not proud of it. That is very Tyler. That is very Tyler. Pass up on 10K so I could, you know, be surprised by my favorite TV show. Bro.
Slash disappointed.
Yeah.
Surprised and horrified.
But I respect that, the, you know what I'm saying? You have boundaries, you know, strong boundaries, strong, you know, strong morals that you, I would have fucking cashed out.
Yes, like I said, I'll tell you what, never a fucking end. If I could go back in time right now. Yeah,
you learn your lesson that. Being yourself, being your true self, though. But Jesus, I'm taking that 10K. That. Something.
You had the same internet that he had, and also didn't do it.
I never bet though, bro. I don't feel comfortable betting, even if I have the spoilers. I feel like it's you know what I'm saying, like there's they're not completely reliable or something, bro. I haven't bet since I told you I haven't bet since like that intramural game when I lost $10. So I haven't bet since then, nigga. I was 21.
Promo code JANDJ. Absolutely. If you ever. If you ever decide to go in the opposite direction, FanDuel, we need House of Dragons storylines up.
Hey,
we'll do some Jenkins and Jones boosts for House of Dragons.
Can we do some fake betting with the story? I don't know. That'd be fun.
I think fake betting is frowned upon.
Okay.
Now I think it being legalized makes the fake betting harder to do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'll look into it. I'll look into it.
Want us to really put some skin in the game? Not I, my friend.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's, John, I know you and I both watched the latest Stranger Things season and we're big fans of it. Tyler, you watch it yet?
Nope, I will be just waving back on. I'm
okay.
Unplugging from the Matrix.
Call him in from the bullpen to clean
up.
I
love when we do this because I always want to take advantage of it, but then I don't actually have anything mean to say about either of you ever, so we're just, anyway.
Right.
Let's start something. Let's start beef.
Let's go.
What's your least favorite thing
about
Tyler?
We're bored. I will say that one time I did, like, when we were I was talking about that in the group chat with me, us staying in a hotel at South by Southwest with the carpet in the bathroom. I chose that. So that's probably the one thing that I've done that he's been like, he'll never forgive me for that.
But the rift anyway, is still there.
The rift is still there, bro.
Some cracks can't be repaired.
Soggy ass carpet getting out the shower, bro. That's hard to forget, bro. Like I told you, I look like a T-Rex in that motherfucker shower, bro. That shit was horrible. Tippy-toeing out that motherfucker like, damn, this is all my fault. Anyway.
So I think this Stranger Things season, first of all, I think it's one of my favorite seasons of television ever. And I think I might like it better than the first season. I liked it that much.
I would say it's better than the first season. I would say also, like, the levels that these kids went to acting blew my mind. And it was like everybody was on their shit in this season, right? Like, the writing, the shots, you know what I'm saying? The art direction, the acting. Like, it was all, like, a perfect storm. I don't know what they do next season. Like, I how do you live up to that? It's like SZA with Control. Like, you know, what do you do after that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you created the perfect season of television. I was scared, emotional. Even like how they like said they like with the second part where like the last episode is 2.5 hours. They said, fuck this, we ain't cutting, we ain't stepping on this. This is pure fucking untouched cocaine. Nigga, we giving it to them motherfuckers raw. Fuck
Injected
rules,
into
nigga.
Your heart.
Right. Yeah. This is too good to have to abide by rules, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that fourth episode, the one where it was Vecna and Max, mm-hmm. where they play the song. Then I think like that was one of the few times in my life when I looked at Char afterwards and I was like, my body is sore because I've been full bodied clenched, like I was about to get punched for like 30 straight minutes. It hit me so hard emotionally that it was like I had to like go for a walk afterwards to unwind. You know what I mean?
I think they showed us something that we didn't know about Max, that she's our favorite character.
She's
you know
by
what
far
I mean?
My
like,
favorite character.
I didn't
for sure.
know she was until that time came, and I'm like, oh no, not Max. And then at the end, this is a spoiler, you know. But at the end, when they were like, when 11 was like, not you. Ooh, I get
Balling.
Emotional, nigga.
Balling,
I'm getting emotional
bro.
Now, bro. Like, not you. And I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, not you. Not her. You know what I'm saying? Do your 11 shit, because not that one, dog. You know what I mean? Yeah. And also, like, I forget the black kid's name. Like,
Lucas.
Lucas. Dude, Lucas in that moment at the end. Yeah. That acting in that moment. I'm like, bag him. This is a career. I think that's
the point. He acted his fucking ass off those last couple episodes, bro.
Right. When you look at, like, a YouTube video or Pornhub and see the spike in the viewership, I think like, oh, that's the moment I'm gonna go to. This is the moment in his career where beep, you know what I'm saying, where you I think we can see that, we're gonna see that spike in like that pay, bro, because he acted his ass off. You know what I mean? I'm sorry for that. I mean, it was just a bit of
that was his you're saying that was his DP moment.
Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. I didn't want to say that. Yes. Yes. That was the moment. That was the moment. But dog, man, like special, special, special. Like I was about to cut off Netflix. I'm like, shit, fuck
me
it.
Too.
I'll pay the $18.99, nigga. They giving this right here is just for this alone. I think that last episode where like I'm looking at it and it's like they gave us a fucking movie. Here, we're going to show you what we can. It was a good fucking, you know what I'm saying, movie, too.
Yes.
And that's what they gave. Here's a season of television, and we're going to end it with a fucking movie. You know what I'm saying? Good luck waiting to the next season. You know what I mean? But you'll be there when it comes along, because this is way too good to ignore.
We're for sure going to figure out what to do, something big with Jenkins and Jones. But they said it's not coming out for 2 years,
season.
Which hurts, bro.
I'm going to be there. For
sure.
This one took hellas. How, this was about 2 years, wasn't it? It took,
yeah.
Bro, these kids, I'm like, what they going to do with these adults?
I know, we all three of us in the group chat were just like, oh, it's going to be some middle-aged shit. But the fact
right.
that
they
consciously
they
aged
now.
It up from being like E.T., like Spielberg, like spooky kid stuff, which is what we all loved about the first season, to mm-hmm. being like a teenage horror movie like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right,
it was
right.
such a brilliant decision. and it was like the kids were old enough that you didn't feel like it was. I mean, it was fucked up.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
When you started doing that, so whoever on Twitter said Vecna was doing the kids like fucking snow crabs.
Bro. Clack, 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 bro.
That
come
shit
on.
Was I mean, fucked up. This shit was but, fucked I mean, up.
They,
but,
and they made it rated R.
You could do it. Yeah.
Yeah, they made it rated R, but it, yeah, it was, like you said, it's old enough for them to do it. But man, like, I don't know what they do next season, but I'm definitely there. You feel me? Like, this is one of the. Is this the best season of television we've seen on Netflix?
I mean, like I said, it's such a different show from the first season. There was a purity to the first season and having no expectations and stuff that I'll always remember that summer. That was just like one of the best viewing experiences ever. But I think this is the best season for sure, in my opinion.
I'm saying Netflix, period. Out of all Netflix shows.
I agree. I think so. To me, Stranger Things is like you know, Netflix will be remembered for Stranger Things if it continues to,
that makes sense.
You know, if it continues to go down, that's the show they'll be connected with forever. So, all right, should we bring Tyler back in?
I just want to ask you. I wonder how they made that decision of like, yo, like who they have to get it cleared to do 2.5 hours for the last episode? Like
budget was Game of Thrones finale season. It was crazy. So I think Netflix was literally from everything I've heard from people who've done stuff with Netflix, they're so hands off creatively that they're just like, we're paying you. You give us what you're going to give us.
You figure it out. But even in the writer's room, the decisions that, you know, or like the decisions by the you know, the producer and the director, yo, let's make this motherfucker a movie. And like, that's the idea that you're almost scared to present because it's so ridiculous. Right. And like how things are thought of with television. Like, no, we're going to make this. And like, and they got the go ahead and actually did it and executed it, you know, perfectly. Crazy, though.
Yeah. All right. Let me see if we can get Tyler's attention. Tyler. This is such an unserious way to record a podcast.
But
I love it.
He's so serious about no spoilers, bro.
I fuck with that for sure. Because I was the same. I mean, I felt what I was going to say with the Game of Thrones. I felt the same way about Stranger Things. If you'd have told me you could spoil the last part of it and make money off it, I would have said no. Because it was just I just fuck with it too much. I don't want any spoilers. All right,
man. This I don't know, man. We got a Similac shortage and all that shit, nigga. I need somebody who got a nanny. So she whooping these pockets ass. I need my bread. You feel me? Shit, dog.
We spent the first half talking about how deep the rift is between the two of you, Tyler, that John picked the wrong hotel when you guys were at South by Southwest, and that one day that will be what that will be what does you.
La Quinta, bro.
Diamond Inn, bro.
Yeah, bro, I'm so basic. I looked at the pictures, La Quinta. I'm thinking like that sounds like it's a decent hotel. We was at the Red Roof, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, carpet
Quinta,
in the bathroom.
By the way.
Is it the La Quinta? Is it the
makes me so happy you're
was
saying
it not
La Quinta.
The is it La Quinta?
5 minutes La Quinta. After you were talking about Spanish is the most beautiful language on planet Earth.
Is it La Quinta? Bro, I don't know. Yeah.
Quesadillas.
Bro, I'm country, regular as a motherfucker.
I think
I'm the only person
this,
that makes that shit sound ugly.
So in Long Beach at this point, the west side is like very, very Hispanic, and the high school over there is called Cabrillo High School. But literally every black person in Long Beach calls it Cabrillo. Like you say Cabrillo to a black person in Long Beach and they will correct you.
we have a bunch of like French streets in St. Louis, like Chatois. We call that motherfucker Choto. Like I think I said it before, like De Per, you know, De Per, nigga.
I mean, Long Beach has some mission name shit like Junipero is a street, but everyone in Long Beach calls it Junipero. You know what I mean? Like, nobody fucking throw that H
even the Spanish speaking people, like they'll correct you.
It's Junipero. What the fuck are you talking about?
All right, before we get out of here, y'all are very high on the Steve Lacy album. I'm going to do the Tyler. I'm going to mute and take my headphones off because I haven't listened to it. I don't want any spoilers for the album.
What can't spoil the album, Mike?
Just wave me in.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Tyler. Start it off.
It's a fucking phenomenal album. It's, you know, Mike was, you know, we were talking in the group chat and Mike was like, man, I don't really listen to new shit. I'm old. I was like, bro, there's really no way to put this shit in a box. But I was like, if I were to describe it, it would be like if a soulful black dude was making indie college rock in the late 90s, mm-hmm. right? You know, that would mm-hmm. be like the only way I could describe it. Like I said, the whole the Buttons track, which I fucking love, that sounds like a song Lenny Kravitz would make if he had black friends. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
Lenny Kravitz, like, he was a nigga.
Yeah. Lenny
Kravitz and not a Lenny Kravitz, you know what I mean? Right.
But yeah, it's a phenomenal album. Bad Habits. Oh, my God. I cannot get that shit out of my head. That's feeling like one of my favorite songs of the year. The fucking Cody freestyle. We were talking about that shit in the group chat. It's a phenomenal song.
Looking for a bitch. I'm done with boys.
Yeah. Hey, that shit ride, too.
Bro, but it's shit hard,
it's a phenomenal fucking album, man. And the kid is only, what,
23, 24?
Future, man. Listening to this album, like, the first time I was like, you know, I mean, I've always thought this about him. He's just a brilliant, when it comes to sonically, you know, he's just never let me down. He's a brilliant artist. And I'm like, he has a blonde quality, best album of a generation album in him. He definitely has it. You know what I mean? Like, for sure. The kid is special. He's got a classic in him. You know what I mean? I still think he has a level of the classic, but I'm not opposed to thinking this may be a personal classic of mine. And like the Yellow album, where like I listen to it randomly forever. I'll just play that album. You know what I mean? Like, dude, this is a perfect album. It's a perfect album. The sound is great. You can ride to it. You can fucking do the dishes to this motherfucker. You can work out to it. It's perfect for everything. You know what I mean? But like, dog, like, it's sonically, it's just beautiful. And what's weird is it is cohesive, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It also sounds like certain songs could not be on the album, but it makes sense on the album. Like, Rather consistently ask me, like, who is this? Because certain songs don't sound like it almost sounds like it's a playlist, but mm-hmm. there's pieces of it that tie together to make sense. It's such a fun listen. You know what I mean? It is so good. I just feel like, you know, he's so young and he needs to live a little more so he could have that shit that just reaches in you and grabs you. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, I think that is what will take his albums to the next level. You know what I'm saying? After, like you said, after he gets his heart broken a little or something, or just lives and has a little more life experience. But I mean, as far as the quality of the music, I don't know what he could have done to make this better. It is a great album. We'll see. You know, I loved a number of albums. This is one of my favorite albums of the year. You know, top five, I'd say. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I cannot say anything. I cannot add anything to that. I agree with everything. It's a phenomenal album. I first got hip to Steve Lacy. You know, I knew he was – I found out he was in the internet. You know, of course, I was familiar with the internet. Mm-hmm. I got hip to him when he produced Pride for Kendrick on Damn. Mm, mm, mm. And people said that – You know, and it is true. It's not some urban legend. He produced that shit on an iPhone. 19 years old, produced a beat for one of the top two rappers in the world on an iPhone. It was a motherfucking iPhone 4 in like 2018. You know what I mean? Right. So yeah, I was like, yeah, this kid is different. And that made me tap in. And, you know, I've been a fan since. And this album, it's phenomenal. And like you said, the main takeaway, you know, from it is this is great. And he's going to do so much better. You know
bro,
what I mean?
Bro, it's
– yeah. He hasn't even got – It's not in a disappointing way. It's in a way that makes you so excited for the future for this kid. You know,
it's not like, I'm not saying he'll give us a classic minimizing what he's done, because what he's done is special. It's just like, you just see that the kid has so much more in him. You know what I mean? Like, as good as this is, you see that he has so much more in him. You know what I mean? Like, he's a brilliant kid. Like, he's giving TED Talks at 20 years old. Like you said, he produced that. I first got hip to him. I think it was his first mixtape. I think it was maybe a little bit before Damn dropped or whatever. I think mm-hmm. it was like, I don't think I was in St. Louis. Maybe it was like 2017, 2018 or something like that. Anyway, regardless, I was listening to that like, damn, like, I shouldn't like music this much made by a high schooler. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in my mid-30s jamming to this fucking high schooler who's just understanding of music and, you know, experience music is just so far past what any other high school I've heard, you know what I'm saying? Understand how any other high school I've heard understands music. So we always knew he was special. He's never let us down, but I think this was a huge step. You know what I mean? Sure. And I think he'll make even bigger steps. And it's weird to say, but Jesus, this is a good album. I said, Brent Faiyaz's album, I tweeted, I was like, I think I have a problem because I'm listening to this album so much. you know, The Medicine was Steve Lacy's album. Like, bro, I just can't stop. I just can't stop listening to this album. It just when I look at my phone, I'm just like, why would I play anything else? It's perfect for whatever I'm doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, do we wave Mike back in?
Bring your ass back here.
Bring that beard back in here, Bubbas.
Bring that illustrious beard back in here, Bubbas.
And that big old smile that we love so much.
I can't go another 10 minutes without seeing your smile.
Southern accent is the best American accent while we're there, too.
You said what?
New Orleans.
Oh, easily. New Orleans.
Southern accent.
Yeah. Easily. Easily, easily. That shit sounds like...
I'm a fan of a North Long Beach Compton accent over everything else.
Of course, because you're a homer. You know what I mean?
A homer. Sure.
But like, New Orleans, to me, like, that accent sounds like... I think that accent would make the ancestors proud. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. You know what I mean? Like, you hear that, and it just you just feel at home. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't think a black football player from Compton is saying he's going Hort... You don't think that
the core,
pork the core,
right? Boston is pock the car, and Compton is pork the core.
That is abuse to my ears. Pock the car, hot dog, get the fuck away from me, please.
Hot dog,
hot dog, whatever the fuck. Oh shit.
All right, y'all. That's all the time we got. We'll be back.
We're butchering shit.
We'll be back. We are not accent specialists
at all.
We'll be back next week. Hope everyone has a good rest of the week, good weekend, and we'll see y'all soon. Bye.
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 Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of ExoJackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at ExoJackie.com. Made for women by women.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.